So much happening. Who's ready for tonight? Come on, who's ready for tonight? Tonight we are going to have the most spectacular Christmas ever. Well, I'm excited. I'm sad that you're not. But we're going to have this place filled from 6 p.m. There's going to be a sausage sizzle out the front. We're going to have carols. We're going to have skits. We're going to have the most fun that we can possibly have and still be legal. So I'm going to be here. Yeah, illegal stuff. We'll just keep outside the gate. Sound good? Oh, church, you're very quiet. Come on, we've got this building with all this sound reduction stuff around us now. We can make a noise. We can have fun. I want to have fun. Yeah? Let's pray. Father, I thank you for who you are. I thank you that you are truly magnificent. I thank you, Lord, that the Christmas season is not just about giving, it's about forgiving. And Father, you forgive and you forgive and you forgive. And today we can come to you because we know we're forgiven. We can come to you, we can come into your presence with a boldness, Father, with a surety that your arms are open wide. So Lord, that's exactly what we do. We come into your presence with boldness. We come into your presence with thanksgiving in our hearts. We come into your presence, Lord, with such joy, because you are so awesome, you are so wonderful. Lord, your word says that you inhabit the praises of your people, and we want to build a place for you to live in our hearts, Father. We want to build a place that you can inhabit, Lord, not just on Sundays, but every day of the week. So, Father, as we open our hearts, as we open our minds to you, we ask that you'll come and you have your way. Holy Spirit, I hand this service over to you right now. I ask that you come and you just bring the revelation we need. So, Lord, we're just not learning dry bits of the Word of God. We're actually finding something that will change our lives. Lord, your Word is living and active and powerful. And we embrace it today. We embrace your Word. We embrace your life. And we thank you in Jesus' name. I'm excited. I'm really, really excited. And it's not hyped up excited. That's genuine, genuine excitement. I am so pleased that this building is almost done. But I'm pleased this building's almost done, not because I was getting really tired of it not being done, not because it was just plain hard work. But I'm excited because this is the start. This is the start of the new thing that God has. This is the start of changes in people's lives. The vision for this place is for this place to be so full every single Sunday that we don't have enough chairs. To be so full that we can't do anything except put on more services because people are in here. Not just for the fact of having bottoms on seats, but actually that we're seeing people's lives transformed. Each one of us has the most amazing testimony of what God's done in our lives. It doesn't matter who you are. It doesn't matter where you've been. But God has done something in your life. And that something is a testimony to someone else who hasn't had God do something in their life yet. There's something about your life that will speak to the people around you. But it'll never speak to them if you never live it. And today I want to talk to you about thinking big. I want to talk to you about not only thinking big, but acting big. Because you know, if you just think, you do nothing. But if you think and then act, you do something and you change your world. Who's called to be a world changer? We've got two world changers in here. That's the saddest thing I've ever seen. Honestly. You're of God. Come on, we are all world changers. Put your hands up. Come on. Everyone, oh wait, it's okay. You're called to change the world. You may not be called to be a statesman or a politician. You may be called to do something totally extraordinary that no one's ever thought of yet. You may be called to change something in the field of medicine. You may be called to stand on a platform and tell people about God. You may be called to be the greatest drummer ever known, better than Ringo Starr. That's my heart. But you might be called to do something. And when I say you might, I actually mean you are. Because there's no doubt about it. You are called. You're called to think big. You're called to act big. That's the call of God on your life. Anything less is unacceptable. Are you thinking big? Are you thinking big? Are you thinking big? Because if you're not thinking big, I'll tell you what, you're acting small as well. Sorry, everyone's face just fell. Smile. Got a story for you. Who likes stories? I feel like I've got to G up a bit. Come on. Come on. Help me a little bit here. It's so much easier when people are involved. I have a story for you. There's a ship on the ocean, right? You know, one of those big grey things. It's a navy one, so it's definitely grey. And the captain of the ship, it's a USS Ulysses or something. It's a United States destroyer. Now, who knows, the United States is considered a superpower when it comes to armies and stuff like that, and navies. They are considered, well, they think they're considered a superpower, even if we don't actually think so. But the captain of an aircraft carrier is pretty high up in the ranks. Pretty stable job, pretty secure job, pretty powerful job. They've got power over everything in the ocean around them because they've got the firepower to do something about it if they don't like it. Anyway, the captain of the ship, he has the radar guy come up to him, and the radar guy says, hey, there's someone in front of us. I've radioed them, said that we're coming through, and they won't move. I need the captain's directive to make them move. And so the captain goes down from the bridge, he goes down to the radio room, and he sends a message to this other ship on the sea. He says, this is USS Ulysses, you need to change your direction now. They wait for 5 minutes and they get a message back. Cannot change direction. Suggest you change your course. And the captain goes, who is this that would defy me, the captain of USS Ulysses? I should have chosen a different name because I can't say it. USS Ben would change it. He's got to have his name in lights, can't help it. This is the captain of USS Ben. Do you realise this is a United States freight carrier and you must change your course? If you don't change your course, we will blast you out of the water. They wait for a few minutes. The guy that they're talking to is still on course. They get a message back saying, this is the people you are talking to. We are not moving. Suggest you change your course. But now the captain is really angry. And he says, you know what? I'm going to blast these people out of the water. I've given them 2 warnings. Okay, this is the final warning. If these guys do not move, they're gone. Get ready. Prepare arms. And so he sends a really, really tough message to them saying, if you do not move your position, if you do not change, then we're going to blast you out of the water. Suggest you change course. They wait a few minutes. No change. He's steaming. And then the radio guy says, hey, Captain, we've got a message back. And he says, read it to me, read it to me. And says, this is Coast Guard Private Ben Perrin. We are a lighthouse. Suggest you change your course. You know, it's all a matter of perspective, isn't it? It's all a matter of perspective. You can think you're great. You can think you're grand. You can think you're wonderful. You can be thinking big. You can be acting big. But you need to have some power behind it. Otherwise, it's just plain arrogance. I remember someone saying to me once, if you have bad neighbours and you move, and the place you move to, you find you have bad neighbours, so you move again. You find the place that you move to, you have bad neighbours. Guess who's the common denominator? It's all a matter of perspective. It is. You think big, you act big. You think small, you act small. How about you open your Bibles with me? Genesis 15. Come on, the Word of God. Start in verse 1. You got it? You ready? And after these things, the word of the Lord came to Abram in a vision saying, do not be afraid, Abram. I am your shield, your exceedingly great reward. But Abram said, Lord God, what will you give me, seeing I go childless and the heir of my house is Eliezer of Damascus? Then Abram said, look, you have given me no offspring. Indeed, one born in my house is my heir. And behold, the word of the Lord came to him saying, this one shall not be your heir, but the one who will come from your own body shall be your heir. Then he brought him outside and said, now look to heaven, count the stars if you're able to number them. And he said to them, so shall your descendants be. And he believed in the Lord and he accounted it to him for righteousness. What's your tent? God had to take Abraham, he became, out of his tent. He had to take him out of his circumstances just so he could see the promise. He had to see something. There's a real concept of God in being able to see it, to believe it, in being able to see something. Now, if you notice that all of this, God was not there in person in front of him. It was a vision that he had. The word of the Lord came to him in a vision. If you don't have a vision for your life, if you don't have a vision for something greater than you, you will never step out of your tent. You will never go to where God has you. Or what's your tent? What's limiting your thinking? What's keeping you small? Because if you stay in your tent forever, you may be very, very safe. But you will never achieve what God wants you to achieve. You will never get to where God wants you to be. So what are some ways that we limit our thinking? Peer pressure? Thinking about what other people think, worrying about what other people say, worrying about what popular culture tells us. That limits us a little bit, doesn't it? How often do we stop from stepping out? How often do we stop believing God because someone's said, oh no, that won't happen. Well, you can't do that. I remember when I was first became a Christian, I'd given my heart to the Lord and God was giving me this series of visions. And he gave me a vision of me being called to preach the word of God. Now, I was brought up in a very traditional church where the most a woman could do was be a nun. And I aspired to that for a little while and then got over it because I realised nuns really only taught kids. And while that was great, it wasn't really what I wanted to do. But God gave me a vision of me preaching in front of a church. And I thought, I can't do that. Women don't teach the word of God. Women don't preach the word of God. That's not from God. That must be me. And God said to me, I actually said I can't do that to God. And God said, do you trust me? I thought, yeah. And you know, a little while later, probably 2 or 3 weeks, one of my sisters came up from Sydney and she brought her kids and we had a barbecue together and I said, hey, you know, God's given me this vision. And I told her, and she comes from a Baptist background, and she said, you know what? You better get a husband. Because you can't do that without a husband. There's no way you can get on a platform if you haven't got a husband. And I thought, oh, is that the only way I can do it? Because God didn't show me that bit. He didn't make that a mandatory requirement of the call of God on my life to actually be relying on somebody else. He actually made the requirement on my life to trust him. So, you know, that doesn't mean that I shouldn't have a husband or someone shouldn't have a husband. That means that the call of God is not dependent on someone else. It's dependent on me believing God. It's on me believing that God is who he says he is. So peer pressure will stop you achieving your goals. Peer pressure will shut down your thinking if you allow it. The next thing is insecurity and low self-worth. You know, when God showed me that about myself, I was actually agoraphobic. An agoraphobic is someone who cannot deal with people. I literally would get paralyzed. I'm not exaggerating. I would be paralyzed with fear. I would hide if someone knocked on my door. I would not answer my phone. I had to psych myself up because I had this all-encompassing fear around my life. I was paralyzed. And God showed me preaching in front of a church of 200-plus people. Oh, God, if that's what it takes to be a Christian, I'm out. I can't do that. Can't do that. Limiting my thinking. And again, God said, do you trust me? Think big. Act big. Think big. Act big. You know, another thing that will stop you achieving, stop you thinking, is poverty. And you might think, well, how will lack of money? It's not about lack of money. It's about believing that you are lacking, believing that somehow, some way, you will not have enough to do the job. My Bible says that my God provides all my needs according to his riches in glory. And that's just not my financial needs. That's just not my physical needs. That's my spiritual needs. That's my spiritual gifts. That's the training that I need to do what he's called me to do. I have a part to play in that. I actually have to be obedient and go and get the training, go and do what it takes to make the vision come to pass. But my God will supply all my need according to his riches. If I look at my poverty, at my lack, I will never achieve. If I look at God, I will, because he has everything. The whole world is his. It's really simple math. Me plus me equals zero. Me plus God equals so much I can't count. So who do I just depend on? Not me, that's for sure. Zero, zero, nothing, nada. But God, pretty darn good. The last thing that limits your thinking is your conditioning. It's your culture. The culture might tell you, you know what? You can't do that. You look at Mother Teresa. Her culture told her that she could not be effective. She was brought up in a very traditional church circumstance. She was a nun because that's all she could do. That's the only place that she could rise to in the church. She left England with a dream in her heart. She didn't know exactly what she was supposed to do, but she knew she was meant to do something. She went to India and she saw the need and God just went bam, he triggered something. Why? Because she got out of her tent. She got out of the place of security. She did something that no one had done before her. Why? Because she got out of a tent. She got out of a tent and she allowed the vision of God to become like the stars in the sky. I'll tell you what, the needy in places in India is as big as the stars in the sky. But so many people go there and never see a thing. So many people have their heart shut, have their eyes shut, have their vision and their understanding shut because they don't want to see. She had a heart that said, God, I want to see, I want to do, I want to make a difference. And she overcame such opposition. You know, they didn't want her to do that. She was a rich white girl, a young girl, an attractive young lady when she started that. You know, people didn't do that sort of thing. It just wasn't proper. But she had a God that was bigger than her culture. She had a dream and a vision that was bigger than her culture. And she said, my God shall supply all my need. And he did, marvellously so. Proverbs 23:7. How about you have a look at that one? In my Bible it says, for as he thinks in his heart, so is he. If you have a big dream in your heart, you will think big dream. You will be big dream. You will act big dream. As you think, so you are. It comes out into your actions. It comes out into your life. As you think, so you are. But conversely, if you think small, that is how you act. That is how your life will be. I don't know about you, but I'm excited because God's vision is so much bigger than I can comprehend. But what I see is pretty darn good. What I see is pretty amazing. What I see is not what I see right here today. This is such a small touch of it. But if I look at what I see today, I get discouraged. If I look at what I see today, I think, oh God, are you not big enough? As a man thinks in his heart, so is he. We're called to think big. We are called to act big. We are called to be people who don't look at the circumstances. The circumstances are the platform you stand on to reach your destiny. Nothing more. They're not the ceiling above your head that stops you from reaching it. They're the platform. They're under your feet. Under your feet. Come on, step up. step up onto the platform. I can step up here. Why? Because it's solid. Thank you, Tony. It is solid. But if I never walk up those stairs, I never reach this height. The most towering stilettos won't get me here. Step up. Think big. Act big. Be big. Are you inspired? We hear that people talk about if you can see it, you can be it. And, you know, you hear all the negative stuff about prosperity doctrine and how people just are taking things out of the Word of God that don't mean anything and blah, 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 blah. But there's a truth to it. There is a truth to it. If you do not think big, you will not act big. If you do not see it, you will not be it. You can't, you don't fall into things by accident. People who become doctors don't do it accidentally. They don't wake up one morning and think, medicine sounds good, let's go. And go into the operating theatre and operate on someone. Why? Because they'd kill you. They grow up in school thinking, really like to be a doctor. Really like to be a doctor. They work really hard. They make really good grades. They have to, because you've got to be smart to be a doctor. And then they go to university for at least 7 years. And each year they work a little bit more, a little bit more, a little bit more. And you know what? Just attending uni for 7 years isn't going to make you a doctor. You actually have to pass. I don't want a doctor treating me that hasn't passed exams. Sorry, no matter how dedicated they were at attending uni, not good enough. Thank you. I don't want a doctor like that operating on anybody I know. I want a fully qualified, top of the range professional. Yes? That's what God wants from us. Fully qualified. Totally reliant on Him. Top of the range professional. Someone who says, God, I see the vision. This is what I've got to do to get to it, and I will do the work. 1 Corinthians 13:11 says, it's like this. When I was a child, I spoke and thought and reasoned as a child. But when I became a man, my thoughts grew far beyond those of my childhood, and now I have put away the childish things. You might say, well, what has that got to do with what we're talking about? Just everything. When you're a young Christian, you think as a young Christian, you act as a young Christian, you do some silly things like children do. Sometimes you can be really overbearing. I know as a very young Christian, I offended a lot of people with my zeal. But I don't regret my zeal. I just regret my lack of tact. And I remember someone coming up to me and say, oh, it's all right. You'll lose that. You'll get over that. And I thought, stuff you. I don't ever want to lose that. Not ever. Because if I lose that, I lose the very essence of what God's put in me. We're meant to be excited about life. We're meant to be passionate. And if we're just dragging our feet, well, just go back out into the world, because that's all they're doing. We're supposed to be excited. We're supposed to be passionate. It's supposed to be something in our lives that's just so awesome that people go, wow, wow. What is it about them? Love hanging around them. Love it, because every time I hang around them, I just feel good. See, that's not you. That's God in you. But if you're not thinking big, if you're not acting big, you'll be thinking small, you'll be acting small. And that's what will be around your life. People won't see a big God, they'll see a little one. Do you want to enlarge your thinking? Do you want to enlarge your capacity to think? I'm going to give you three keys. So if you're taking notes, and I know you all are, you can write these down. Number one. First step to enlarge your capacity to think big. The first thing you have to deal with is yourself. Now, I don't know about you, but I really am my own worst enemy. I think that all of us would put our hands up for that. I really am my own worst enemy. I am the harshest critic ever known to man on myself. I am much kinder on other people than I am on myself. But I'm also the one who controls my destiny. If I think badly about myself, I get small. If I allow the stuff to go around my life that is in my head, if I allow the doubt, the insecurity, all that sort of junk to come around my life, guess what? I don't think big anymore. So the first person I must deal with is myself. Big thinking takes guts. It takes stamina. It takes drive. It takes courage. We're not wimps. Christians are not wimps. I remember when I first became a Christian, my thought was, God just fixed you all up. Life was great. You never had to deal with anything ever again. Because all the Christians I saw were happy all the time. And it didn't take long, probably a few weeks, to realise that that's not exactly how it happens. And I realised that I actually had a bit of work to do. Because the whole key was not that Christians don't go through stuff. The key is that Christians go through stuff really well. And they go through stuff with an attitude that is stable. And I said, God, how come? I'd look at all these people and I'd know they were going through stuff, right? Everyone goes through really bad stuff. It's just life. We live in a fallen world. I'd see people go through that stuff and they would just be so stable. And, you know, I'd have something little come against me. I'd be up and down and up and down and up and down. And I'd say, God, how come they're so awesome? They're so calm. You know, I saw my sister go through some pretty horrific stuff and she just was this calm. It didn't mean she didn't care. She did. She was hurting. She was struggling. But something in her kept her afloat and that thing was God. But if she'd have been relying on herself, if she'd have been looking at who she was, she would have sunk in really fast. I remembered the day I realised that I had that calmness in my life and I cried because I thought, God, you have done so much in my life because now I'm at a place where something can come against me. Sometimes I have my bad days. We all do. But you know what? I'm not like this anymore. Oh, what a relief that is. You've got to deal with your insecurity. It will cripple you. It will prevent you from seeing the bigger picture. Because big thinking takes guts. Have a look in Numbers 13. Now the whole story, I'll just run you through it quickly so we don't have to read the whole chapter. The spies had been sent into Canaan to search out the land. Now God had promised them a land of milk and honey. Two spies came back and said, it is awesome. Look at the fruit. It's great. It's awesome. Let's go. 10 others said, oh, no, 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 no. Big, big people. They're big, big guys. Scary. But have a listen to what they said. Said, there we saw the giants. The descendants of Anak came from the giants. And we were like grasshoppers in our own sight. And so we were in their sight. Do you realise that they weren't like grasshoppers in the other people's sights until they already were in their own? It doesn't say they said we were grasshoppers. It says we saw that we were grasshoppers. And so we acted accordingly. If you think you're a grasshopper, if you think you're a worm, if you think you are no good, guess what? That's what you'll live out, even if you don't want to. Insecurity will cripple you and prevent you from seeing the bigger picture. Deal with it. Deal with it. There is no reason that any Christian should have insecurity in their life. Because a Christian that's healed, a Christian that's made whole, a Christian who's dealt with their stuff is whole. And they know that it's not about them, it's about who God is in them. Deal with insecurity. Deal with that hurt. Deal with that pain. There's ways to do it. Get on the process of healing. Doesn't mean that if you've got insecurity that you're not a good Christian. It means you've got a process. You've got a healing process you need to embark on. Because that thing will cripple you. It will cripple you so hard, so fast, that when God shows you a vision, you won't even see it. Let me give you an illustration. If someone rocked in here in a wheelchair, they've been in a wheelchair all their life, and God said to them, you'll walk. How many of people in that situation do you think would actually try and get up? Why? Because their thinking is limited. This is how it is. This is my tent. And no matter how much they hope in their heart, they don't believe. See, vision's not about hope. I think it might come to pass. It's God has shown me something, so be it. Deal with yourself. If you're a grasshopper, that's all you'll ever be. But God did not make you a grasshopper. He made you in the image of the Most High. He said you are chosen. He said you are elect. He said the promise of God rests on your life. The future of the world is in your hands. Jesus died for you not because you're a worm, not because you're a grasshopper, but that you are so important that you were worth dying for. God wants relationship with you. If God be for you, who can be against you? Stand up. Not physically, stand up inside. Say, God, I will deal with myself. So everyone starts. Second point. Come on, write it down. The second thing. First thing is, deal with yourself. Second thing, deal with your God. Now, if you don't deal with your God, you're in trouble. Because if you only deal with yourself, you'll just go in a spiral that goes round and round and round and down and down and down. Deal with your God. You need to make transactions with your God. You need to make a bit of a to and fro with your God. You need to say, God, here's my sin. Sorry, forgive me, cleanse me, take that cleansing and live in it. You need to give God all of your dysfunction, all of your lack, all of your self-doubt, your self-pity, your self, and you need to actually take back what he says. Deal with your God. If you don't know God, if you don't have a relationship with God, deal with your God. Because until you deal with your God, you're never, ever, ever going to even have a vision. You have to have intimacy with God. You have to. You know, prayer is to and fro, not just you talking at God. If all you ever do is talk at God, you will never hear what God has to say. It's conversation. What is God saying to you? Are you stopping to listen? Is there intimacy there? And if there's not, what are you going to do about it? Deal with your God. Get his picture, his promises. No, in the beginning, in Genesis, God created the heaven and the earth. If you look at the very, very start of Genesis, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. I just said that. The earth was without form and void, and darkness was on the face of the deep, and the Spirit of God was hovering over the face of the waters. Then God said, let there be light, and there was light. Now, before God said, let there be light, and there was light, there was nothing. There was darkness, there was a void. There was nothing to see. But God saw something. Somehow, some way, God saw what was not and made it what was. If we're formed in the image of God, God can take what is not in our life and create something as wonderful as this world. Why? Because it's God who does the creating, not us. Isaiah 54 verses 2 to 4 says, enlarge the place of your tent and let them stretch out the curtains of your dwellings. Do not spare, lengthen your cords and strengthen your stakes. For you shall expand to the left and the right, and your descendants will inherit the nations and make the desolate cities inhabited. Do not fear, for you will not be ashamed. Neither be disgraced, for you will not be put to shame, for you will forget the shame of your youth. and you will not remember the reproach of your widowhood anymore. Enlarge the place of your tent. Expand your thinking. You can live in a tent all your life. You can make do. You can make it work for you. But if you add another room, all of a sudden you'll use that room. It's like in a house. You add an addition to your house. You don't just leave it empty. You actually move into it and use it. And if you add another room, you'll move into that and use that too. We need to be outgrowing our spiritual houses on a regular basis. We need to be outgrowing everything around us, because if we're the same now as we were this time last year, there is a big problem. Think big. Act big. Plan for the future. Go for it. Deal with God. If you don't have a vision, get one. If you don't have a vision, get one. I'm serious. If you don't have a vision and you don't get one, you will die. You will die. You will become discouraged. The number one tool the enemy will use against you is discouragement. And the only thing that battles discouragement is vision. If you've got a vision, discouragement can come all it likes, but you say, no, my God said, and it will be. If we looked at this church last week, it was very, very lots of seats. If you look at that, it's discouraging. No, but our God said this place will be full. This is his house. He invites people here. But if we go on circumstance, we'll never see it full. Because we'll limit our thinking, we'll be in the tent. Come out of the tent, look at the sky, look at the stars. That's the number of people in our church. Absolutely. The prayer of Jabez. Jabez was more honourable than his brothers, and his mother called his name Jabez, saying, I bore him in pain. I would hate to go through life with a name that meant my mother went through agony to bring me here. I think that is probably one of the most depressing things I can read in the Bible. But something in this guy stood up, and he refused to be dictated to by his birth. He refused to be dictated to by what other people thought of him. He refused. It says that he was different from his brothers. Why was he different from his brothers? Why? I don't know, but something got around his life that said, you know what, you're more than a pain. You are more than agony. You are more than torture. And he stood up and he said to God, oh, that you would bless me indeed and enlarge my territory, that your hand would be with me and that you would keep me from evil, that I may not cause pain. So God granted him what he requested. You know what? If he'd have allowed himself to be limited by what other people thought, if he'd allowed himself to be limited by what his mother had gone through, if he allowed himself to come under that guilt and shame, he wouldn't have even thought to pray that prayer to God. But something in him was bigger, and he said, no, I don't want to cause pain. I don't want to be like that. I want what you have, God. So God granted him his request. That's exciting. And last but not least, number three, deal with your influences. So number one, deal with yourself. Number two, deal with your God. Number three, deal with your influences. Refuse to hang around small people. Refuse to hang around petty, complaining things. Refuse to fill your mind with the garbage of this world. Refuse it. It doesn't mean you can't have fun. It doesn't mean you can't watch TV or listen to music or go to parties. It just means that you do not allow that stuff to be the main focus of what's around you. It means you choose to surround yourself with things that are bigger than you. It means you choose to bring things into your life that add positive influence. Now, you may not have access to the greatest preachers on earth. You may not have a lot of money. But you know what? There's heaps of people in this room who have books on their bookshelf that you haven't read that would build your thinking. There's leadership stuff. There's life stuff. There's family stuff. There's healing stuff. There's also free podcasts of some of the best preachers in the world who will help you grow. There's free leadership stuff. There's CDs, there's tapes, there's Christian channels. There's so much. There's the Word of God. Man, if you don't have a Bible, then you are suffering. That's the greatest thing you can do. Get your head on. This is your head. If you're not thinking like this, you're thinking wrong. Deal with your influences. Everyone can complain. Everyone can be a small thinker. It takes guts. It takes courage. It takes drive. It takes passion. It takes faith to think big. Think big. Be big. I'm excited because I know a church of people who think big, a church of people who act big, becomes a church that changes our nation. I know that in each of us is the capacity and the ability and the vision to do what God's called us to do. But me knowing it isn't enough. You must know it. If you're thinking small, you'll be small. If you think big, you'll be big. Act big. Don't just think it, be it. Can I get the music team to come back up, please? In Proverbs 20, verse 19, it says, "Who goes about as a talebearer reveals secrets. Therefore, do not associate with one who flatters with his lips." In 22:10, it says, "Cast out the scoffer and contention will leave. Yes, strife and reproach will cease. He who loves purity of heart and grace and has grace on his lips, the king will be his friend." 22:24 says, "Make no friendship with an angry man and a furious man do not, lest you learn his ways and set a snare for your soul." Make no mistake, who you hang around with has the ability to propel you forward, to increase your thinking or to limit you, to put a tent over you and keep you small for the rest of your life. But our God, the one we seek to please, the one that we love above all else, says that there is so much promise. He says that there is so much before us. He has said over your life the most amazing things. Do you believe him? Do you believe him? Will you take on board what he says? Will you take hold of that vision and say, "God, I don't know how I'm going to do it, but you've given it to me, so it'll happen." Come on, church. It's time to rise up. We have seats filled today with people who are here to change their world. We have people here who are not limited by what others think of them. If I had have listened to the people around my life who said I couldn't do it, I would still be in psychiatric wards. I would still be on masses of medication if I was still alive. I would be miserable, trapped and hopeless. But my God is bigger. And my God thinks bigger. My God thinks more, and he showed me and I trusted. What's he showing you? What do you need to trust today? We are about to enter a brand new year, 2010. We've completed 10 years of the new millennium. How awesome is that? Every single day we are making history. But Hitler made history too, for all the wrong reasons. Let's make history for all the right reasons. Let's change our nation. Let's change our cities. Let's change ourselves. Come on. How about you bow your heads today? Father God, I just thank you for who you are. I thank you, Lord, for vision to come around your people. Lord, for those who've stepped away, who stepped down, stepped back, discouraged. I just pray, Father God, you'll break discouragement off their life right now. Father God, that somewhere within them you'll rebirth that hope. That hope, that promise of a great tomorrow, that promise, Lord, of great things. Father, those ones you've called to rise up into positions of leadership, the ones who've dropped the ball, who've stepped away. Father God, give them the courage and the strength to step up, to believe you for more, to believe you that they can become the influences you created them to be. Father, for those who have such a passion for our city, I ask, Lord, that you'll remove from them the worry about what other people think. Lord, for each one of us, that we'll rise up, that we'll take you at your word, and we'll walk big, we'll think big, we'll act big, because you are such a big God. And Lord, we know that it's all about you, it's not about us. Help us, Lord, to put away the things that hold us back. Help us to put away the things that discourage us. Help us to take every thought captive in obedience to Christ. Help us to tear down the things that rise up above the promise of God in our lives. And Father God, unleash these people. Unleash Toronto. Unleash everything that you've put inside of us. And send us out to affect our world. Father, we bless you, we honour you, Jesus, we thank you. Have your way in each of our lives, in Jesus' name. Amen. How about you stand to your feet? We're going to finish with a song. Don't forget, we have Christmas Spectacular tonight. We have Christmas Spectacular, 7 p.m., barbecue starts at 6 p.m. We're going to have a lot of fun. So don't forget, bring a friend. It's going to be carols. It's going to be fun. Great time to invite someone. And